episodes, we haven't murdered each other, but I have murdered a lot of ears with that intro. So
okay, did you see like how red that got there?
I did. I promise after this, I will calm it down. So that way you headphone users will not have bleeding ears. I just did that because we've made it one whole year. We haven't killed each other. I haven't driven down there. You haven't driven up, although it's too cold for you to come up here. So you wouldn't even make the drive here. It's really nice down by you.
There's been a lot of threatening, but we're both too lazy to do it.
Yeah, we're both like, that would involve effort. You know, like swapping discs on the PS4, which we just discussed. It's just too much effort anymore. We've gotten lazy.
I know, I used to love like having physical copies, and I still do. Like, I still love like having the boxes and how it looks, everything on my shelf, but I don't want to take a fucking disc out.
I know, you can just turn your PlayStation on overnight, or your Xbox, or your PC, let the game download overnight while you happily sleep, and you can get up the next day and not even have to like take a shower, get somewhat presentable to go to the store. You just sit there in your with your
key. Yeah, I do kind of like. I have enjoyed some of the preloading stuff, because yep. Like I got like an advanced review code for something on Steam, and then I just had it but it wouldn't unlock until a certain time. So I was preloaded it, and then, the next day, it's already...
It's ready to
just
go.
Has to unlock, and now you can play it. You don't have to wait in lines. You don't have to watch the download. It's great.
It's funny how I've actually gotten more excited in recent years about unlock codes coming across Steam. Like, sitting there at midnight just waiting for the game to unlock itself. You can play because you've had the game installed and it's like sitting there in your Steam library. Just, I'm here. You can.
You have the icon on your desktop.
You can almost play me, but no. Ugh. But we've done it one whole year, and well, we got the show for it. 52 episodes.
I got this awesome hoodie.
I got the same hoodie I was probably wearing last week because I'm getting ready to do some laundry. So there's that. Let's see. We got this nice new setup.
Yeah.
Still no banner because, again, lazy and travels. Actually, I should probably do that next week. That's what I could do when I'm in fucking excitement-filled Nebraska.
You don't want to look at corn?
You know what? If I want to look at corn, I just go down to the corner. Corn. But here we are. We've done it. We're not lagging. We don't have any server issues. We're not.
Not yet.
A partial podcast. Your DLC isn't coming in a week. Oh, man.
Well, see, if they want the DLC, they'll have to sign up for a Patreon.
There you go. And if you really want that banner down below, we're going to do a Kickstarter. Development costs, man. Development costs.
Development costs out of your precious.
Hey, I need blow
camera strap wrapping time.
Yeah, I need some blowing hookers, man. So, if you want that nice little banner down there that actually tells you what the fuck's going on, so you don't have to actually look at the OBS, the VC, the Chrome, the Pigeon. In the window.
You know what you could do? You could just hide the taskbar. That's what I do for the Action Trip VidCast.
I could, but I'm too lazy to do that. That would require me to move my mouse over there and click, right-click on it, and then choose it to hide. It's been this way for...
Wow.
I know. If you want that gone, be a backer. $10, and I'll remove the taskbar.
Oh, Jesus. $10 total or $10
that's
per
it's $10 donation? Per contributor.
I mean, people are getting screwed.
Hey, for $1, they get my undying gratefulness that they pitched in $1, which we'll probably get like 50 cents of.
After PayPal.
Yeah, PayPal and whatever Kickstarter takes out.
I don't know what they take out.
I don't care. No, we're really not going to do a Kickstarter. No, we're really not going to do a Patreon. But we are going to talk about something today.
No, because we're going to do a GoFundMe.
Right. Right.
Because our lives are that low.
And if that fails, we'll just go to Indiegogo.
True.
So, I mean, true. Look for us on all the places to give us money. Or I'll just put my PayPal information in and you can just send me whatever the fuck you want. Anyway, We're not here to discuss crowdfunding and how pathetic that is. And we're not really here to talk about tacos, although I really want tacos still. Thank you, Nintendo Legend. Shout out to you, motherfucker. Carrie, you'd made a mention of this last week. And
I did.
Pretty poignant. So, what are we talking about this week, Carrie?
We're going to talk about the idea of kind of shoehorning in emotion into a game just for the sake of having some emotion
in the
game. And this is
because of a recent game that you were talking about last week.
Yeah, it's because of Firewatch, and I'm going to have to get into some spoiler-tastic territory, so if you haven't played Firewatch, or you think you might want to play it, just go on ahead and skip forward a little bit and come back to this later. Because, like, you've watched the Firewatch stream, right?
Yeah, I've watched 3 or 4 people streaming it now, and I've, I know it's about a 6 hour, I think some people are doing it in like 6 to 8 hours or something like that, so it seems like a relatively shortish game.
I finished it in 4 hours.
Well, there you go. So I've watched, you know, I've watched 2 hours when it just like randomly hit my Twitch feed. I was like, oh, Firewatch, I just heard some hoopla about this, so I watched a little bit then. And then throughout the next 2 days, I kept catching other people playing it. So I wasn't so much watching the stream because I wanted to watch the game, because, I mean, after about a half hour, it's like, this game is, there's nothing gripping me, but it was the commentary. So seeing what they all had to say, and I will say that I think I watched 3 or 4 streamers now that have all played this, and they've all come out with the exact same review of, it was pretty, but that was about it. There was no meat to this.
Yeah. My thing, what I came away with it was, I even said this in my review in Action Trip, that it was very pretty, and I felt like it really nailed the atmosphere of, you know, being in the woods when you're in unfamiliar territory and you're having to use a compass and a map, because I constantly had to look down, make sure I was going in the right direction. Now, it's not realistic in the point that it does, you know, put you on the map as a, you are here, but that, you know, you kind of have to have that in a video game. Otherwise, I can't imagine how hard that would be, because it's not like the trails are marked, you know, like you are going on this path. But I still had to constantly, like, look down and be like, okay, wait, I'm supposed to go north and east. I'm going south. Crap. You know, kind of turn around. So, I mean, I use the compass a lot. And that, to me, like, it really felt like I was hiking in this unfamiliar territory for the first time, which I thought, you know, was nailed it pretty well. And it did get some of the emotions pretty good of the mystery behind it. Like, there's many parts where I was tense, where I got a little scared. Something was about to happen to me. And then, unfortunately, at the very end, I was like, what? That's it? And one thing I really wanted to talk about was like what happened in the intro. Now, the very intro of the game, it's the main character's name is Henry. It has him hiking to his fire lookout in the Shoshone region, and his lookout is the Two Forks lookout. It's like of this, basically it's this national park campground, and he's, you know, has to be out there looking for fires. Well, why would he take this kind of a job? So while he's hiking, they kind of do like a flashbacks of why he's taken on this job. And this is where I'm going to get into spoiler territory, because, you know, this they did a pretty good job keeping under wraps, so I was not prepared for this. But they basically do this heartstring tugging of a story where, you know, he meets the love of his life, and it turns out she's got early symptoms of Alzheimer's, and it's, and for whatever happens, he has to put her away. And I played through that intro about 2 or 3 times doing different dialogue options, because you do get all these options. And what happened was the same. Either her parents took her away, took her to Australia, or you put her in a home. And in either one, he feels the exact same way about it. He feels incredibly guilty. He feels like he doesn't, you know, he's kind of like she's dead in a way, which, you know, with Alzheimer's kind of is. And so he takes this job to kind of escape. And there's also signs of that, you know, he might be an alcoholic or whatever, which, you know, someone's dealing with someone. Your spouse has Alzheimer's, you are probably going to become an alcoholic. I think that happens to most people. because it's a devastating disease. Now, that kicked me in the guts. Like, oh my gosh, how heart-wrenching, how sad for this guy. And then while playing it, I felt like none of that mattered. It was completely irrelevant to the game. I mean, you have, basically throughout the game, like, your only communication is through a hand radio, and you talk to your boss, who's in the main lookout tower. And you can choose to share with her your background with your wife, or you can not speak to her, or you can just shut her out completely. But even if you do, which in my playthrough, I did share with her because I felt like she was being really flirtatious, which kind of creeped me out. And so I was like, you know, try to set it immediately, like, no, like, married, wife, this is what's going on. Every day, like, I made him put his wedding ring back on. Which I know that you can choose the flirtatious options. He probably could never tell her and then continue to flirt with her and try to establish this relationship. But even with me telling her all this stuff, all that thing that happened in the beginning didn't matter. It was never any consequence. It never affected how he was doing. It never affected what was going on in the game. So I was like, so what was the point of that? Like, why did you make that such a potential tearjerker for no reason?
Yeah, and we'll continue with the spoilers. I mean, the playthroughs that I watched, I caught a lot of them either right in the middle where the flirting thing is going on. And you can actually do a middle of the road where you let her know about your wife and you kind of talk about it, but then you kind of still flirt with her along the way. And towards the end, one of the endings was like, you're trying to figure out what to do, so he basically says, come down to Colorado with me and, you know, hang out. And she's like, nah, I think I'm just going to go someplace else. And it was like, so you did all that flirting for nothing.
And I heard that too, because even with my playthrough, but I didn't flirt with her, that was still one of my options, was that I could have invited her, you know, we go hang out, why don't we go do something, and, you know, for no reason. And it was the same thing. Like, you know, she wouldn't even, like, you know, we kind of bonded over what was happening, and yet she still didn't wait to even meet me face to face, you know, which was, it was just kind of weird.
Out of all the playthroughs that I watched, it seemed like you were given those choices, but in the end, nothing ever mattered. It was like, just a
there was an illusion of choice.
It was just a way of like, okay, so you're on day 68. We're gonna give you something to talk about while you just go rummage for some supplies, because at the end it really doesn't matter. That's essentially the takeaway that I got out of it from the streams that I was watching was, you know, you watch several people play. You get the one guy being the dick. You get the one guy being the flirtatious one. You get the one girl who's trying to be like, no. And at the end, because I did manage to catch the endings. I don't know how I worked that out, but I did manage to catch the endings. And they all were pretty much the exact same thing. And I was like, so whatever I said, whatever they chose at the beginning had no bearing on what happens at the end. And everything in between is just to fill time.
Well, and I kind of felt that, because I even said this in my review too, that there is a set path that the developers wanted you to take, whether from your decisions in the intro through how you talk to Delilah all the way throughout, and maybe then it all ties together and makes sense. Well, obviously I didn't make those right decisions. I felt the same way about Beyond Two Souls, that there was a set path, because most people were like, this doesn't make any sense, but I found out other people who went this certain direction, like, oh, it all made total sense. Why did this happen? Well, that's a design flaw. Don't give me an illusion of choice and make it be like it all makes sense in the end. Like, if you have a certain story that you want to tell, then just put me down that path.
You know, and this is kind of like a little bit like Life is Strange, how you can clearly tell that the developers had the one storyline they wanted to kind of pursue, but it never felt like that was the only option. I mean, they did give us, you know, you had a lot of choices,
but
you could definitely tell at the, but it didn't happen until the very end of the game, where if you actually, if you got one ending, you could just go to YouTube and search the other ending, and you could definitely tell which ending the developers put more time and interest into. But the other ending also made sense for the choices that you were kind of making, hence it being a much shorter, less time-consuming one. But, you know, they kind of had a path. They kind of had the decisions they thought that they were trying to lead you to, but then you could just be like Chris and be a dick and be like, no, let's go this way.
Right.
So... I don't know. It just, yeah. This one, it even the gameplay, it was just like, there's definitely, okay, here's your point A, here's your point B. You're not really going to be able to stray a whole lot from it, but whatever. And so, wasn't some of the stuff timed too, like when you're trying to go get supplies or something like that?
I don't remember anything being timed.
All right. Somebody had a counter up in one of the corners and it was like ticking down, so I didn't know if that was part of the game, and then when they got to whatever the objective was, the timer went away, so
either they found something that I didn't, or which is possible, because I don't remember a timer at all, like not even at the very end when you have to get out because of the fire. I don't
That was a pretty slow walk. You know,
it's possible, and because some people said that if you know, there's a lot to be seen if you do a whole lot of exploration. But since you know I was doing it for review, I just kind of pushed through. I did the missions that were assigned and moved on. And every time I would explore, he would get on the radio and be like, I'm lost, and I got tired of that, so I stopped exploring.
Yeah, you know, a good one though. That has the narrative and the exploration all nicely done was The Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Yeah.
That was a very good one that had a relatively good narrative on it, even, you know, with.
There was no illusion of choice.
And it was.
There was no choice.
And you were encouraged to explore. Mm-hmm. Just walk around. And then, you know, as you found crime scenes, it was up to you if you were going to try to solve the puzzle so that way you could actually see what happened in that crime scene, or you could literally just skip it. You could actually...
No, you couldn't.
You couldn't? I thought you could.
No, no, because there was two that I never solved. One was the house, and I never found the astronaut thing. And when you get to the end and you find Ethan Carter, he's awake, and he's talking to you, and... he wakes him up, and Ethan said, but your story's not done yet. And he goes, that's right, I haven't completed all the pieces. And it looks at that map that's above his bed, and you can fast travel to the puzzles that you didn't solve.
Well, that would be kind of handy, because some of those puzzles you kind of had to really...
Yeah, because like the astronaut one, you really have to go wander out in the woods, and I just didn't go up there.
And that was one of those games where within the first, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, you stumble upon something and it grips you. And then it, like, the story behind it all suddenly, even though it was broken up in narratives and like that, it was something that within the first 5 minutes gripped you and made you want to get to the next part. But while you're going to the next part, it wasn't like, I never felt like, I have to get from point A to point B, and I feel like there's these invisible walls because of some, like you said, he gets on the radio and is like, hey, I'm lost. You know, mm-hmm. To me, that's an invisible wall, because that all suddenly stops you from wanting to, like you said, you just want to get from point A to point B, where The Vanishing Ethan Carter was just like, oh, hey, look, that's really pretty over there. Oh, I'm going to go over here. Oh, I'm going to go over here and take some screenshots, like I did.
So, yeah, I mean, I did that a lot, and... Firewatch too, because it was very pretty, and there's at one point he does pick up a disposable camera, and so I was taking I'd take a screenshot, and then I would get the disposable camera up and take a photo, and the cool thing about that is that the photos that you take are in the end credits.
Oh, nice.
And you can have them all emailed to you, so like that was kind of a nice little takeaway from it. But the other thing about The Vanishing of Ethan Carter was that the emotion was there. And it was relevant. Like, it's like the stories that you were reading, and you're like, okay, so this kid's very creative, and you see how his, you know, in his stories, how his family, because you don't know that they're stories, you think they're actual clues for a mystery, how his family was treating him, and all that. And then when you get it all to the end, and like that just kicked me across the room. Like, I cried when I saw what had really happened to the kid and who you were as the supernatural detective. That was so well done. But again, like, that was another case of, you know, emotion that was properly used. And as much as I didn't like Gone Home, that's another one that did not throw in emotion for the sake of emotion. It was another one for me that when the big reveal happened, I was, that's it. But at the same time, nothing that they placed in there was to make you feel something other than what it was. Like, as you're exploring and everything, like, you know, you did feel a little sorry for this girl who's going through, I mean, she was coming out in the 90s, which, you know, I was in high school in the 90s. I remember exactly how everyone treated people who came out. And her parents are not understanding her and how her parents are going through their own selfish things. And so none of that, like, even like the phone message that you get where it's like, you know, pick up. Oh my gosh, are you there? Please pick up. And it sounds kind of panicked when you think about it. When you find out what that message really is, it's like, oh, okay. But they never once played with your emotions for the sake of, we're just doing it because we're emotional too. And it's this, and Murdered Soul Suspect did that as well. It was never anything that we're just going to play with you because why not? And I felt like Beyond Two Souls tried too hard, and this is another one where it tried too hard. Like, it just, and some people were complaining about that Unravel also did that, but I haven't played Unravel, but Blake said that it does tie in the emotion very well. And that's really all you want. If a game's going to be emotional, don't make it emotional for the sake of being emotional. Make it emotional because it's important, because it means something to the game.
I consider the stuff where they just kind of they try to shove the emotion and try to trigger that, I just call it shock value. They're just trying to shock something out of you, and it just isn't working. And if you start off with a good premise, and you're like, okay, you've got me, so the dude's wife is having some problems, and now he's kind of feeling whatever, and then you drop that within 5-10 minutes later, you just, it's like, here it is, let's just throw it in the trash, call it a day. And at the end, you're just like, okay, so I spent, you know, what, like 70, 80 days out in the woods, whatever it was.
Right. It's, I don't know, I just felt like they were just trying to get you, like, okay, this game is going to be emotionally draining and involved, and it wasn't. Which made me wonder, so what was the point of all that? Why even have that? Did you have to go for an emotional story while he's out there? Maybe he just likes the outdoors. I mean, maybe he just lost his job and likes the outdoors. You know, so there could have been so many other things they could have done.
Do you think if they would have changed the storyline from trying to make it to be this emotional thing to the, I'm a college kid fresh out of college and I just want to spend a summer doing something unique, so I'm going to go be a fire watch, and they did just some, you know, just like an experience. Like, this is his experience as he's out talking to this chick. Maybe he's trying to flirt with her because he's single or, you know, whatever, so...
She sounds hot.
Yeah, she sounds hot and wants to get, you know, get her to come down and visit him. Do you think that would have changed your perspective on the game?
No, because, again, the end game was, that's it? I mean, it just never made any sense to me why that mystery was what it was. And they kind of... I don't know how much further I want to get into that, into spoiler territory, but at least, I guess, with Gone Home, it made sense. The big mystery, it made sense. This, to me, just, like, I was describing it to my friend Jen, and her response was, wow, this is like some mystery writer novice wrote this. I'm like, yeah. Like, they almost tried to make, you know, a creepy, stalking, ghost-like story. But what was the purpose of that? I mean, Scooby-Doo has better ghost mysteries than this. You know, at least their reasons made sense. You know, they were trying to scare people out so they could buy up the property or something. This was just dumb. This was just absolutely dumb.
bits and pieces I was catching of it, it looked more like they all sat in a big meeting. They all put ideas on sticky notes, stuck them up onto a board, and then just took darts and went, okay, that's the idea we're going to go with, and this is what we're going to add in, and here's our narrative. I mean, that's, they're just taking, let's make a beautiful world. And it is pretty good until you see him pull up his hand in the walkie talk. That always drove me nuts, but the overall scenery was.
That didn't bother me.
But yeah, it definitely was, yeah, the big mystery thing. I was like, okay.
I like the idea. The idea was great. The execution was a failure. I feel like they could have taken this idea and done so many different things with it. They could have made a more of a mystery actually dealing with, I don't know, fires.
It's a really
missing campers, you know, just.
It's really interesting to see the reviews too on this, because it's so all over the place. Like, some people just absolutely loved it, and then some people were just like, what the fuck did I just do for 4.5 hours of my life?
And you know, the people who just loved it, from talking to someone recently who did just love it, I really think that my theory that I hypothesized was correct, and that if you make certain choices, it resonates with you. And obviously I didn't make those. And it just, you know, this one guy is a good friend of mine. I mean, he was just like, oh, but it was so amazing because of this, this, and this. And I'm like, yeah, okay, no. And it just happened to resonate with him. And I think it's because some of the choices that he made from with talking to Delilah. And maybe some choices that he made with what he did with his wife. Because it is vastly different that you put her in a home versus her parents come and take her away. Because they come and take her away because you decide to sneak off to a bar to go get drunk. And I think the one I did was like, I didn't lock her in her room, but she woke up and got out. And, you know, no, that wasn't it. He got a DUI and had to, you know, make phone calls to get out. So I have a feeling if you locked her in her room or whatever, you still would have gotten the DUI. Her parents would have come and gotten her. Or if she locked her in there, I'm just making speculation now, but I feel like if you locked her in a room, maybe you didn't get the DUI, but she tried to get out and stuff happened, and then her parents still took her. I still think that's the options. You put her in a home, her parents take her away. Either way, she's gone.
Yeah. And this isn't one of those ones where if you replay it and make different choices, it's not like the story changes a whole lot. You're not really...
It's short, so... You know, why wouldn't that entice me to play it again and make different choices and see maybe if it resonates with you better? I don't care.
Yeah.
Sadly.
It is what it is. It's what it make of it. I don't know. All the stuff that I watched, I was just like, okay. Oh, so we're doing that. And maybe it's because I watch a lot of terrible B horror movies or something, but I'm just like, okay, so we're doing this. Okay.
Even the terrible B horror movies make more sense than this.
Oh, I've watched some really bad, poor B horror movies. I've made Megan suffer through one when we had a friend out here one time. She's like, really, you're making me watch this? And we're like, yeah, it's awesome. And then we go out to eat and we're like, oh, that was so bad. It was so bad. I don't know. It just, to me, there was nothing in this. And it's funny because I've made mention before that I'll use Twitch on games that I've either just hear about and I'm like, well, what the hell's all the hype on it? Because it blows up my Twitter feed when I do get on Twitter. Or, you know, it's something that I've been following, but it's not something that I'm sure on, so I won't do a pre-order on it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use Twitch, and usually within... You know, even story games, I'll watch people play this because to me it's not really spoiling it for me because I'm still going to play it and get the experience. And maybe I'll make different choices. But, you know, like I've been watching Street Fighter V because of all the hate that's been going on about it. I'm just like, it looks pretty fucking good to me, and they're now playing it and they're having fun. So I'm very excited that I'm getting Street Fighter V.
You're not allowed to have fun, dude.
Apparently.
Don't you understand?
I know, it's the internet. So, and then, but Firewatch. I was like, okay, it looks pretty, but it's like when I was talking to you, I was waiting to hear what you had to say. And then as I watched more of it, I was just like, I realized that I'm just watching a game just to hear the commentary from the streamer and not so much the game itself. So it's, I don't even think it's on my Steam wishlist anymore, because it's just like, maybe for $5 I'll play it, because to me,
I don't know. That's still more than $1 an hour.
that's true. And I, you know,
Not that I
Pico
want to
Forever's
put
on there.
length with monetary value because of The Witness. Although The Witness, if you think about how long The Witness is, $40 is definitely your value. But I guess because I just didn't get very much out of the game, that's why I say that $5 is still too much. The funny thing is about Firewatch was that from the people that I talked to, when they asked, well, how about your initial impressions? And I said, well, 2 hours in, I'm bored. And they all said the same thing. You're gonna remain bored. And they were right.
Don't shoehorn emotions in. Just make a good game. If you're gonna do something emotional, you know, make it worth a damn. Make us that way, whatever happens at the beginning actually has some sort of meaning throughout the entire game, not just we're gonna have some random conversations that really don't, apparently don't really do shit, because Delilah still hates you.
I don't know, she hates you. She just, you know, that was the other thing that kind of sucked about it. Because, like, as someone else put it on Twitter, I think it was Max Parker, he put this. Sorry, Max, if you did not say this. It was that in the end, no matter what you did, what relationship you formed with Delilah, your relationship didn't matter. Because, you know, in my playthrough, I was good friends with her, and she didn't want to see me. I'm like, okay, so was I just here to amuse you? For like, we just went through this awful thing, this thing that scared us both, and we had each other's backs, although she really didn't because she was kind of selfish. There, I mean, one thing I'll say about it is that everybody involved in this all had their problems. She made a lot of mistakes that she shouldn't have done because she was trying to cover her own ass. Now, my character called her out on it. Maybe that, you know, kind of pissed her off, but I mean, but at the same time, she called my character out on plenty of stuff too. So you know, even though we weren't flirting or anything, we still had, I thought we had this relationship, like we're at least friends, and she doesn't even want to hang out. She doesn't want to make sure I get out okay. She doesn't want to help. I mean, because she's like, yeah, I'm leaving with this helicopter. And I got to her, I was like, can you please wait for me? Like, because I was actually right there. I was about to climb into the little gondola to go across. She's like, no, I'm gonna go. Okay. And then so when I voiced my concerns of, what if there's not another helicopter for me, what's gonna happen? She's like, oh, of course there will be. Well, okay, if of course there will be, stay. Why do you have to go? And no, and I talked to other people, they're like, nope, she never stays, no matter what. No matter what happens, she doesn't stay, she doesn't talk to you, she doesn't end up, so what was the point of even having this relationship?
And what's the point of having all those decisions or
Meaningful
choices?
conversations.
Yeah. If, again, you start off with something that kind of grips people and then drop it 5 minutes later and then just throw it in the trash at the end because nothing that happened in that game made it.
And then something else meaningful that you try to do doesn't matter either.
Can't just shoehorn this shit in there.
Yeah. I mean, because you know, Murdered Soul Suspect was another that started out with some heavy emotions. God damn, they were important all the way through. Because that's another one where his wife didn't have Alzheimer's, but she died. I don't remember. I think she was murdered, actually. He was a detective, but I think she was killed. And he was really good friends with her brother. And but the whole thing, like with her death, was actually very, very important in that game, and his relationship with her and his relationship with her brother was super important because he was doing things to protect his brother and help his brother solve this huge spree of these murders that was going on in Salem. And the coolest thing was at the very end, because you know he's dead, he's a ghost, and he finally solves it and it's over. It fades to black. You see this little beam of light and you hear his wife say, "Hi," and that's how it ends. Perfect. You know, if you're, and that's really like my whole point. It's like if you're going to have this kind of emotion, make it mean something, make it be important. Or don't try to, or like what Beyond Two Souls did, don't try to bring up this emotion out of nowhere at the very end. Like, wait, wait, why should I care about this person? Did I miss something?
Oh, video games. You do so well.
It's like, and I think that we're sadly in this, I guess, this arena of that we have to do something different to get talked about. And so now we're going to come up with these kind of pretentious like games that, you know, if you don't like it, it's like, oh, well, you didn't get it because of all this emotion. Like, no, I get that the emotion was fake. And I'm not willing, like, people say that about Journey, and I think the emotion in Journey is very clear, even for a game that has no words and no talking. Anyway.
Well, the music. I think for Journey, it was also the music that really played into it, because they did such a really good job with that soundtrack.
Now, I will say the music in this is really good too. The music really does help invoke some of the fear and the intensity that you do feel. I mean, that's one thing that the game really did. It did translate very well into, you know, immersing you into those emotions. Then again, it was like, once again, for nothing. So.
Well, I will probably never play this game. I would like to, just so I could take pictures, screenshots, and have nice screenshots, but I'm not going to go through 4 hours. And it's like $20 for a 4-hour game.
Is it $20?
Yeah, it's like $19.99. It was on sale when it first came out, because it was on a Steam sale. So it was like $17.99 or something like that.
Yeah, I bought the bundle so I could get the soundtrack. At least the soundtrack's good.
There you go. CDs were $15 at one point in time, so there you go. So just figure it that way. You spent $15. Oh, no, you got
the
bundle, so it was
little. Sure. Or even $10, you know, so it works.
So, there you go. All right. Carrie, tell me you've been playing something a little bit better than Firewatch.
Oh, yeah, I played Lego Batman 3 on the Vita. I don't know why I started doing it, but I did, and then I platinumed it in 4 days.
Yay, platinums.
Yeah, and my son loved it so much watching me play. He used the last of his Christmas money to get it for the 3DS. So I still haven't played it on the PS4 yet, but, you know, what I played on the Vita is pretty well done. It was very funny, and so it's what a Batman game should be. Well, I guess a Lego Batman game. I'll put it that way. trying to think. Oh, yeah, more Lego Marvel's Avengers, because still... I will say that the guide is 100% on key so far with the collectibles. Like, anytime I can't find a collectible and I get really pissed off, I pull up the guide and it's like, oh, it's hidden over here. I'm like, never would have gone over there. Like, I couldn't find where Stan Lee was in this one, because normally you hear him. Mm-hmm. And apparently where he is, he can't say anything, or... Because in the other areas, like, you'll hear him, like, banging on something, even if you can't hear him talking. But this was nothing. Like, he was under a snowdrift, trapped, like, with a car on top of him. So there's, you know, no way to find him to do that. And the thing is, and to do that, you had to happen to see this little crowbar in the bottom left part of your screen that only the Scarlet Witch could use. I just didn't notice a little red aura coming off of it, because, it, like I said, it's at the very bottom corner. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend down in Georgia, just because it relates to Lego games, and we were talking this morning, actually, and he said, I absolutely hate playing the Lego games with my son. I was like, yeah, the co-op on that is just pretty much shit. He's like, yeah, they definitely
now,
get away from the couch co-op.
They do have an option, though, that you can turn off the dynamic screen.
Oh, that's right. I remember that we had talked that they. I should probably mention that to him, that they can turn that on.
I don't know which is worse, though, to be honest. The reason why I hate playing with my son is not because we actually prefer doing the dynamic, because with the split screen, it will still switch places depending on where you are, so we get really confused. So we'll play with the dynamic, but the problem is is that we'll also get confused because, you know, that will just totally turn around on you. And we play very differently. He just wants to burn straight through stuff, and I'm like, no, we sell these studs over here. We need this shit later. And he's just like, ah, fuck that. Let's just go.
Oh, gaming with children. Oh. So Lego, that's what you've been playing all week, huh?
Yeah, a lot of Lego, and I was supposed to be playing Street Fighter V by now. I got my code on Monday. I don't remember why I didn't play on Monday. I think I was busy. No, they were. I think I was busy writing something else. I was busy doing something. And then yesterday, I fell in yoga and jacked up my wrist. And it was actually a little swollen. And I was actually feeling it up in my elbow and all the way up in my shoulder from the way that I fell. The good thing is I didn't fall far. It was just how I fell, and pretty much all my body weight was on my wrist at the time. And I'm getting older, so I just can't recover from this kind of stuff. And I actually tried to play a little bit yesterday, and because of the way that you have your hands around the controller and when you flex your bones and muscles, it just jacked up. I'm like, nope, I can't do this. So my boss told me today, he's like, play with your teeth.
Which then we found out that there is actually a player.
There's a player, a pro player who plays with his mouth. Good for you, dude.
He's got born with something in his hands where he can't use his hands. He can only use it to hold the controller, and then he uses his teeth. It's amazing. If you've made it this far in the podcast, go do some Googling and find the Street Fighter 4. He plays Chun-Li, and I believe he's a Chinese player. I forget where he's from, but he is a pro player. He's been in tournaments, so amazing. Craziness. What people can do when they put their minds to it just to play games. I mean, everybody's seen the players that can play with their feet, but I mean, we're talking Street Fighter with Chun-Li.
Oh, maybe that's what I should do. I should try to play it with my feet, because I mean, I'm team button mash, so that's not that big of a deal.
All you gotta do is just keep swirling that little joystick around, mm-hmm. and just keep mashing on the...
And I've been told the way to win and against the AI is just to do a bunch of jumps. Do a bunch of jumps and random, like, the projectiles, and you'll win every single time. Like, oh, okay.
Anyway, my copy should be here today, hopefully. Hopefully the ups person shows up soon rather than later. So at least I can...
You're going to put your Ryu next to Scorpion?
I was thinking about it, but I also, now that I have the arcade block Mortal Kombat Scorpion, so they're kind of taking over my PC. Because I have them sitting on top of the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of out of space.
But I got mine. And I opened it up and I saw it was a Scorpion bobblehead. Wasn't that thrilled because I'm not a huge Scorpion fan. So I talked to Jen about giving it to her. So we talked about that. And then my youngest son, got into my office and ripped open the box and kind of yanked the head really hard. So I don't know if I can fix that. And like, wow, you know, that's low even for Scorpion. That's a tough way to go.
That's a tough way to go. That hurts. It hurts right here.
I mean, wasn't that one of Sub-Zero's fatalities? Was he ripped off the head and the...
He pulled out your spine.
The spine was kind of whipping around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess. I mean, now you need a Sub-Zero doll bobblehead. That would be... I mean, they do make...
Now, see, that would be cool because then I could have him holding the spring and everything.
Oh, Carrie.
That'd be kind of badass.
Yeah, now you have to go buy it. Now you want to go buy one.
No, not really.
Yeah, think about the badassness.
Yeah. I've been trying to hold back from looking at more. I think there's just the Scorpion, though, and the Sub-Zero. I think that's all that there is.
Yeah, that's all that there was. At least based off the back of the box.
Yeah. So.
Oh, but if there was a Casey Cage one.
Or Kitana.
Alright, let's finish this. Let's see. What have I been playing? More World of Warcraft. Played that on Saturday. More of the Crew.
You're doing some MMO stuff.
I have been doing some MMO stuff. I did the Crew. So I've already got all the US finally uncovered, and then I went and did all the points of interest things. They're like, you go sightseeing. So, you know, you go see Mount Rushmore. You go down to the Financial District. So I did that. So I got all those done, and then I found all the hidden car parts. So now I have all the hidden cars. So that's all done. Now I actually have to like play the game, I guess, which is doing all the skill challenges, doing all the storyline missions, and all that jazz. So slowly making my way through that. I'm still like in the East Coast. I'm not really that high a level, but I got this woman who keeps coming on the radio now. She's like, "You have a lot of money. You should invest that in cars." And I was like, "No, I'm going to keep this money because I'm going to have to buy a bunch of shit for the cars that I get." So, yeah. And then I took some time to play our Book of the Month, which is the Deadly Tower of Monsters. And that game cracked the shit up out of me.
Have you finished
Just,
it?
no, I haven't. I'm 2 hours in.
Okay.
And then the rum started kicking in, so I got really sick and tired of hearing about how. So, it's hilarious. Like, I loved all the stop motion dinosaur parts, and I like how you can kind of go back and forth between the dude and the chick and the commentary. The guy's commentary. The one part that got really bad was I was running around and there's like a corner, and down below it were some rocks. And I was like, oh well, I'll jump down there and see if there's any, because I was finding all the little medallions or whatever. So jump down there and realize I can't jump back up. And I spent probably 5 minutes trying to figure out, because I thought maybe you could jump and get around on the other side and then get to the rocks, but no, fall down. That's where the sea monster comes up. He's like, "Oh yeah, we threw in that sea monster just to cover up death." Oh yeah, there it is again, and there it is again, and again. Which was hilarious because, like, he starts off so happy about the fact that there's like the sea monster, but then
Right.
as I kept falling off the ledges trying to find a way to get back up, because it's like you have to be able to get back up, right? Like I got double jump, I should be able to get up there. Nope. But it was
Can
really.
you can teleport back? Open up your screen.
I didn't open up the screen.
If you do you know what I'm talking about? So you can get out. Yeah, so do that.
Well, it did lead to a very interesting notice in that. Like, he was very excited about the sea monster. And then, as I kept dying, his interest in the death scene kept getting less and less.
Yes, he does do that, which is kind of funny. He's like, "Man, why do we keep all this, mistake footage?" Or, "Oh man, that was a really bad one. Like, he had to go to the hospital after that."
So, I mean, it's a pretty generic gameplay tower. I mean, you're basically
Yeah.
trying to climb a tower. But the commentary in it is what just keeps pulling you along. Because. You'll go like 2 minutes where he won't actually say anything, but then all of a sudden there's just this long diatribe of why it is they put did what they did and what it is that made it so good. And
Have you
yeah,
seen what he says when you stand still?
no, I keep meaning to do that because I remember you made a comment about it, so
Yeah.
I kept meaning to be like, I'm gonna stand here and then go get a drink and then just come back and sit here. But usually by the time I get back, I'm just like, all right, let's go more laser beamy things. I do like the fact that there's like different types of, you can cycle the two pistols. You can go from like a short baton to like a staff, and it changes up how the fighting goes.
Yeah.
It's really not overly hard that I found, other than it lets you jump off onto a rocky area
It's
and.
the combat's not difficult. It's the platforming, especially the higher up that you go, that gets more difficult. And some of the boss fights are pretty tricky.
I can tell that they definitely want you to come back because there were some areas that you can't get to with the
Oh,
guy, so you got to
yes.
use the you gotta you have to wait till you get to the glass tube with the female and swap out which character you're using. So there's definitely like we want you to go back and revisit these
Yes.
stages and try to get every, because I'm like, oh, more shiny shit to collect, gotta collect all this. So I'm walking around just breaking everything I possibly can, but
Right.
they definitely bring in a lot of the like 60s, 70s, 80s bad movie stuff, and it's so good. It's so much fun. I'm looking for, I'll be playing it a little bit more hopefully next weekend, so that way I can plow through it a little bit more and be ready for our Book of the Month podcast. But
Yeah, I need to finish it. Like, I'm on the last act. Just need to actually finish it. Of course, now it's been so long, I may have to get a tutorial. Get my groove back.
so that's good for a laugh. It's good for a laugh. It was a good break between playing WoW and The Crew. So, yeah,
Well, good.
go me
Well,
and my MMOs.
we'll be talking about that more in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we
Good
will.
times.
So, with our 1 year anniversary, which really isn't our 1 year anniversary, it is number 52, but our 1 year anniversary was a couple weeks back. But Carrie, take us home.
Oh, okay, I shall. Well, we do thank you for tuning in to the... Wow, I got distracted. This little fuzzy... like, where's it going? We do thank you for tuning in, whether you're watching us on YouTube, which you can subscribe to us on YouTube, or you're listening to our podcast, which we are in iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter. The site is at Strategy Reviews. I am at Crunchy Chocobo, and Chris is at Starvin. And, of course, we ask that you keep on reading Strategy Guide Reviews. Yeah. Yay.
And I promise the next podcast, I will not blow out your ears. I will tone it down. Because
and maybe we'll have a Fallout 4 guide review.
Maybe. I do got to work on that. I am traveling, so it would.
Right.
We'll see how that works out. But I will tone down the intro because you know what? I am not a dick on the internet, which you should not be a dick on the internet. We play video games. This is a good time. It's entertainment. So stop taking your hate and your rage and your anger and telling us that we only have 156 subscribers on our YouTube channel. We don't get what the fuck that's about. We don't care. Stop being a dick. Don't do it. And with that, we're out. Peace!